And relax. Bruce Springsteen, Secret Garden, keeping things together. Now, a double helping of joy lined up at present, because not only are we actually going to be greeting the fabulous Sarah Chase in Frankfurt am Main, Germany, but we're also going to be saying a happy hello once again to William Watts, William L. Watts to be precise, Market Watch's premier Market Watch correspondent when it comes to financial matters on this day, which, as Sarah Chase actually quite rightly said when she emailed me earlier, is probably as significant as the same day in which the Berlin Wall came down. Is that right, Sarah?
It is. Today is the make or break day for the euro, we're following the meeting that's going on in Brussels right now, which is supposed to. It's just started and will be ending sometime around 2 a.m. right before the opening of the New Zealand and Australia markets.
William, obviously, does he prefer William or Bill? I mean, I just wanted to clarify this, really, because it is an important thing to... I mean, I know we've known each other about a year or so, but he might prefer Mr. Watts. I mean, I don't know.
I think Bill's going to be fine.
Is that okay? Sarah, we needed to run that question by you, because, you know, you are married to the guy, and I would presume you actually know how he prefers to be referred to and all sorts of
bits and things. It's probably better than what I call him sometimes.
Bill's fine. Yeah, through there. Jodie, any questions you want to put to Sarah, first of all? In fact, actually, have you been listening online, Sarah? Have you caught any of the show so far?
No, actually, we've been here monitoring what's going on.
I would have thought so. You know, why would you be worried about people shooting animals, mass slaughter in Ohio, when you can actually watch the same thing happening with Angela Merkel and the European crisis? No, I'm being crass. That's a different line entirely. But you will be pleased to know, Sarah, that we've just launched a new feature, which is a regular monthly audio letter from upstate New York with actress Annette André.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, you see, exactly. Jodie, over to you. Questions for Sarah.
So, Sarah, I know you said you've got it's make or break day for the euro.
This is quite frightening, actually. I mean,
yes, but exactly what do you mean by that? Because I haven't been paying attention to that kind of news, so I don't really know what you mean. Can you explain
it again? Sorry.
I'm not really too sure what you mean by make or break for the euro. Is it like, well, if they decide they don't like it, they're going to get rid of it completely, or...?
No, it would be sort of a, well, there are several different options, and you're probably best to speak with my husband about it, but you have whether or not they're going to recapitalize the banks, you have whether or not they're going to put funding into turning this into something that's a more concrete, stable environment for the countries that are involved. You could see a total breakdown of the Europe, although that's what everyone's really working very hard right now to avoid. Or you could see sort of a breakup between a sort of southern version of the euro, a northern version of the euro, where you have sort of different lending and different credit companies behind it. But again, today is whether or not they're going to continue on the same path that they've been taking, which is just sort of delay after delay, whether they're going to make a full commitment to something more to really fully develop the euro in terms of a global or of a European pan-wide economic policy, or whether this is going to be the disintegration of it.
Before we come to Bill, Sarah, one of the things that I often find is sort of quite... pertinence to this particular crisis is a lot of people don't really understand it. I'm going to test that in the studio. I mean, Chloe, do you understand this whole sort of debt crisis thing? Do you think, I'm told I should be very afraid of this, but I'm really not sure what the heck's going on.
Sort of, because my dad is a mortgage advisor, so he's complaining about the state of it a lot to me.
Well, yeah, that's a mortgage advisor who's allergic to all animals.
Well, fur.
Fur, yeah. That's an interesting strategy there for dealing with the Baker family. If you're doing mortgage advice, obviously no other main jokes. Jodie, do you understand this?
No, I have to say finance and business is not really one of my strong points. I mean, I kind of gather that... Well, I'm not even going to try and guess what's going on.
Hasn't even sort of impacted. And I think you could say finance and economics not necessarily a strong point of many of the bankers who've been involved with this in the first place. Sarah, if you'd like to put Bill on, we'll have a brief chat with him now, because I'm particularly interested in the article that you alerted us to, headed obviously for Market Watch, Europe tries once more to get grip on debt crisis. So I don't know if Bill's actually got the phone now. Are you actually there, Bill Watts?
Hold on one second.
Will be.
Waiting
excellent.
For a headline to pop through.
Marvellous. Very good. It's really important. It's a tension that sort of worked through there. It's quite intriguing, isn't it? You have our American correspondents based in Frankfurt in Germany. It's kind of almost globalisation, you might well say. Astounding from that point of view. Anyway.
And we have more computers and more TVs on than I've ever seen in this household.
So go on, I mean, just describe the scene there, because I've got this sort of notion of life in the Frankfurt base for the Watts family is kind of, you've got screens galore. I mean, what sort of things are you looking at present, Sarah?
Well, Euronews for one, and then the EBS, I believe. There's a live feed coming out of there, and then various wires that are going across, as well as everyone sort of linked into various desktops.
I'll tell you one thing.
But Bill is available now, if
is
you're
he?
Ready.
Excellent. That'd be fantastic. I was
hold
just
on one second.
Marvellous. It's all great. It's telecommunications in its fullest sense of the word here. So, Market Watchers, as we said, premier financial correspondent. I know people might say that's open for everybody. No, it isn't, actually. William Watts. Bill Watts, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good to connect with you once again, Bill. Exciting times for yourself, or is it a case of another day in the office or watching the screens?
Well, it's a very busy and, yes, very. It is a very exciting day, but it's one that's really, there's a lot of tension in the air, I think, in the markets and certainly probably in Brussels and everywhere else as we're really kind of coming up to, yet another crucial European summit where they're going to try once more to get the situation under control, though, it's a question of, are they running out of time?
There were over 77 comments on your article about this whole event. I mean, just picking out a couple of key areas here from your original statement. European leaders have a tough task ahead Wednesday as they attempt to finalise a wide-ranging and complicated plan to contain a two-year-old Eurozone debt crisis seen as a threat to the global financial system and economy. Leaders of all 27 European Union countries meeting Wednesday in Brussels, followed by a meeting of the heads of the 17 Eurozone countries. Gathering marks the second summit in 4 days. You asked the question, what's it going to take? Catherine Brooks, research director at Forex.com, said investors expect four things: confirmation of a bank recapitalization plan worth at least 108 billion euros, $150 billion, write-downs on a Greek debt of around 60%, an agreement to leverage the 440 billion euros European Financial Stability Facility, or EFSF, to provide at least 1 trillion euros in lending power. Now, those figures seem to be almost inconceivable, Bill. And it's interesting looking at some of the comments that come through from this particular article. We've got a range of things from sort of people saying it's all going to heck in a handbasket to a chap called Technodog, who actually says, why the European Union is doomed to fail. From the American perspective, is this something which you think you're rubbing your hands with glee? Is it a case of this is a disaster? Should we be sort of considering running around like headless chickens? What's the kind of general vibe that you're getting?
Well, I think I think there is a lot of from a U.S. perspective, I think this has really become an issue on people's trading screens, on people's radar screens, because of the threat that it poses to the sort of the global financial system. There's a fear that this crisis could end up, taking down a European bank or European banks and basically creating something of a rerun of what we saw after the collapse of Lehman Brothers in 2008. So that's what has really got the attention, I think, of a lot of people in the U.S. And then I think in Britain, as well. I mean, it seems like there's, this is, I think a lot of the Eurosceptics, see this crisis as a bit of a vindication of their opposition to the euro and in some cases their, broader concerns about the European Union, which has probably manifested in the rebellion that Cameron faced earlier this week.
I had a wry smile when I saw the comment made by a correspondent who rejoices under the name of Trey F. Tips with the question mark, are these the same Dummkopf economists that are always so freaking optimistic about the US economy? I mean, do you feel that people are actually getting to the stage where, look, enough already? We're told crisis after crisis. There's a sceptical viewpoint that says that actually one of the reasons, the banks are kind of going down this route is because they were bailed out by the taxpayer once. So let's try it again with another $1 trillion or so.
Yeah, well, I think there is. I think there is a lot of frustration over the role of the banking sector you know, we've seen that in the U.S. with the Occupy Wall Street movement, which has also, you know, manifested itself here. I think some of the issues are a little different between, you know, in the U.S. it's largely about taxation. Here it seems to be more just about, you know, the role of banks in general. But, you know, the banks are, you know, at the center of this. You know, the big issue going into today's meeting is really what really seems to be holding things up right now is an argument between the European Union and the banks over how big of a loss the banks should bear on their Greek debt. And, you know, that's a very crucial question in this debate, because the more of a loss that the banks take, the less that taxpayers have to pony up. But at the same time, that means the banks will have to raise more money to recapitalize themselves and prevent themselves from, you know, facing a run. And, you know, then the taxpayers may be, you know, liable for shoring the banks up that way. So, you know, it's a very complicated and complex sort of situation that really has the banks at its center, and the trade-off between banks and taxpayers over who's going to shoulder the bill.
I was taking a seminar on Monday in a program called American Icons and Images, and I was saying about the exploitation of the American railroad situation. About Chloe, you were there. We were talking about how the railroad in America, you had four shopkeepers in San Francisco who started going from West Coast to East Coast. They slogged over the sort of 40 miles with a view of money behind it, and then obviously the Federal Reserve's paying the way for the move from East Coast to West Coast, etc. I mean, putting that in mind, Chloe, I mean, what are your thoughts on this crisis? Do you think that, you know, any sort of questions you got about, once again, you know, we're faced with something, except the difference being that there doesn't seem to be any money to pay anybody out? Chloe, what are your thoughts?
I'm not really sure. It's quite complicated.
Is it complicated, Bill, or is it just, you know, we've just lost the plot here, and ultimately you've got a situation whereby, you know, President Obama is clearly concerned that if this goes down, as you rightly said, we could have another Lehman Brothers, we could have all sorts of other issues from that point of view. Jody may never be able to get back from Los Angeles. There could be sort of all sorts of meltdown scenarios here. You know, is it that sort of effective, or do we feel ultimately that German Chancellor Merkel, Angela Merkel, and France's President Nicolas Sarkozy, you know, it's all going to be okay?
Well, I think it's really tough to say at this point. I mean, you know, to quote a former British Prime Minister, Harold Macmillan, you know, it's events, you know, and the question is whether or not the European leaders can get a grip on this before something happens, before there's some sort of event that would trigger a default by Greece, or something that tips Italy into a severe crisis before they have these firewalls established. Mm. You know, there does seem to be a redoubled political commitment on behalf of Merkel and Sarkozy to preserve the euro. A lot of rhetoric about doing whatever it takes to make sure that the euro survives, not letting Greece fall out of the euro, and certainly not seeing Germany leave or something like that. But, you know, on the other hand, here we've had this crisis. It's been running on for 2 years. Greece is a very small economy. There are a lot of economists who say this situation could have been ring-fenced very early on and contained. Here we are 2 years later. They can't handle Greece. How are they going to handle Italy or Spain if the crisis really does begin to engulf those much larger, much more important economies? So, you know, I think, you know, events over the next few weeks, few months are going to be crucial. And, you know, how this comes out, I think anybody who says they know for certain is deluding themselves.
Jody?
I have to agree with Chloe, really. It does seem quite a complicated situation for those of us who don't really know a great deal about the situation.
I suppose the positive thing, if one can give it a little positive spin, is at least we haven't got to the stage of actually wanting to take a war footing out on this, because I think in previous times, certainly in the 20th century, this was kind of the time where if things had gone that wrong, we'd probably sort of say, well, what's good for business? War. War is good for business. And we haven't at least gone down that line again. But there has been a suggestion, Bill, that if the thing really turns a terminal, we could actually be almost going back to the nation-state battles and internecine war fighting that obviously has plagued Europe for the centuries.
Yeah, well, I think there is a concern that, I think it's difficult to go, from the idea of Greece defaulting it's probably a bit much to jump from that conclusion to the idea of troops marching across Europe. At the same time, if we do see the Euro project stumble, if we do see it fall apart, or see some sort of catastrophe related to the euro, there's a good chance that this would mark the high water mark for European integration, for European Union. And, that's really been, this push towards ever closer union does seem to have been the theme of European politics since the end of World War II. So, we could be entering a very different world if we do see a splintering or as a result of the euro project faltering.
Is it an exciting time to be a financial correspondent working for Market Watch in Germany at this stage, Bill?
You have economics, you have politics, you have markets, you have everything. It's quite a confluence of very interesting factors, and it is a very interesting a time, but it's also very tense, and the stakes are high, and the impact on the economy, on jobs, on people's futures, it is a very, very crucial and serious issue.
And I've got to ask a couple of sort of final little questions. You mentioned obviously the screens that you're monitoring from all various news sources within your base at present in Frankfurt. But in terms of sort of interesting bouts, it's interesting to get the Russia perspective, because if you go to actually RT.com, you certainly find Russia Today having their own particular take on the whole thing. I know there was an article there where some of their financial experts that actually were based in America were saying that, well, as yet you haven't seen many bankers actually hurling themselves out of tall buildings as yet, so it's not that bad a crisis as we had in the 20s. Not that we're suggesting they should, and certainly if you are in the banking industry, don't do it. Just relax. It's all going to be okay, but just an interesting line on that point of view. Got to ask this other question, though. Carl B. Weinberg, chief economist at High Frequency Economics in Valhalla. Is there generally a place called Valhalla? I mean, I thought such things were for the Norse gods to actually sort of go to after they'd actually raped and pillaged the country. But there is presumably a Valhalla, New York.
Yes, there is a Valhalla in New York. It's in suburban Westchester County, I believe.
Wow.
And
you see, that's the joy of accessing your articles on MarketWatch .com, of course, Bill. You can actually even find Valhalla, because that's all through. I thought, no, surely not. They can't. I mean, you're going to be talking about Asgard next, and Bifrost, and Heimdall, and all sorts of other bits and pieces. It's just surreal. Bill, it's been fantastic touching base with your good self. Jodie, would you like to throw those last two questions at Bill Watts, please?
Yes, Bill. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
You might have only caught part of that because we didn't have your microphone up all the time, so go for it.
Sorry, did you have... excuse me, I'm losing my voice now. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
Yes, it's been it's always great to talk with Alex and everyone.
Excellent. And
Alex
look
and
for...
the Great Ones, did he say that? did you actually say Alex and the Great Ones there, Bill?
I said Alex and everyone there.
Right.
It's been great to talk to you all.
I mean, they'll be putting in for a pay rise already if they start being referred to as the Great Ones as opposed to co-presenters.
Well,
yeah, that's okay.
Arrange something.
Exactly. So.
And Bill, can we look forward to connecting you with you again in the very near future?
Oh, yes, I'd love to. It's always a pleasure.
Splendid. I'll tell you what, if you pass the phone back to Sarah, we'll have a brief few words with you, and we'll let you get back to, obviously, monitoring the markets and all the rest of the bits and pieces there on the Dow Index, NASDAQ, a whole range of other factors from that point of view. Bill Watts, Premier Correspondent, of course, for Market Watch, wonderful news agency, keeping us on top of, obviously, the debt crisis, if we can actually say such a thing is actually possible. So hopefully, Sarah, have you actually got the phone back now? Are you back with us?
I do. I'm right here.
Splendid. There we are. It's very good. I mean, does it give you a sort of sense of satisfaction when you're married to somebody who kind of at least has a vague understanding of matters financial? Or would you say, this is outrageous. I've taught him all he knows.
No, it's actually, it's wonderful being married to Bill, because when I've got a question on anything that has to do with economics or finance, not only is he sort of, you know, full of kind of bright and good ideas, he's also got the background knowledge, and he's a really good sounding board, too, because I don't always agree with what he has to say. And we do take the time to sort of talk it through and then look at options, too. And, you know, I look at this not only from just, you know, our basic economic lives ourselves, but also because we live in a global world and what's happening between all the markets around us, and to sort of get a reasoned perspective on what actually can occur and what the potentials are.
Chloe, do you find yourself asking your father for advice, mortgage advice, or you just say, no, that's ridiculous?
Student finance advice.
Student finance advice, yeah, very good, important. Whole new world, isn't it, Jodie, really?
Certainly
That's
is.
Great. Don't forget, Sarah Chase, of course, ruralmediainternational.com. No connection with what we've just been talking about in terms of Market Watch, unless they've been having deals that they haven't informed the public about. I'm sure there isn't, but, you know, other than the line from that point of view, Rural Media International. We haven't had time to really focus on the excitement that's coming through with that. But, Jodie, you did the last two questions so expertly. Go again. Last two questions for Sarah Chase, please.
Sarah, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
I have. I've enjoyed both the participating and listening.
Excellent. And can we look forward to connecting with you again in the future? Very near future.
I think we'll talk to you next week on Wednesday.
Excellent. Look forward
Fantastic.
To that.
Still to come, Richard Moore, our audio restoration expert, Kelly Duncan Joyner from Los Angeles, and Phil Leon is also from Los Angeles, and who knows, maybe, just maybe, Cameron Tilbury from Nashville.